Invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Nahum near the end of the Old Testament. If you're using the blue pew Bible in front of you, page 660, after preaching 12 sermons from the book of Micah, it is time to move on to the next book, the book of Nahum. And while you're doing that, I do want to invite you back this evening at 6:30 p.m. here in our sanctuary. We will be watching together a video of Dr. Erwin Lutzer talking about the Reformation. And really, it's a documentary, very, very well done, showing some footage in Germany, some significant places for Martin Luther, the Reformation. So it's about a one-hour documentary, 6:30 tonight in our sanctuary. And we'll also hear a brief update on the Arabic Alliance of Canada. Really rather remarkable what God is doing among some newcomers to our country, and we'll have an update on that as well. And also, I wanted to remind you of something else, and I can't remember what it was. Baptisms next Sunday. If you would like to be baptized as a believer, you need to let us know today. It's a lot of work filling that tank with water. And if you want it filled with warm water, you'll let us know today that you want to be baptized in warm water. If you let us know near the end of the week, it may be cold water, and I might not be the one baptizing. So please let us know that you want to be baptized. Nahum chapter 1, going to read all 15 verses from the New International Version of the Scriptures. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning? Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. An oracle concerning Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up and makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into darkness. Whatever they plot against the Lord, he will bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. They will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry stubble. From you, O Nineveh, has one come forth who plots evil against the Lord and counsels wickedness. This is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, they will be cut off and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. The Lord has given a command concerning you, Nineveh. You will have no descendants to bear your name. I will destroy the carved images and cast idols that are in the temple of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. Look. There on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. For the past several years, sadly, we have heard sickening reports about the horrible things that ISIS or ISIL has been responsible for. These brutal Islamic extremists seem to have absolutely no respect for the sanctity of human life whatsoever. For example, back in 2014, 600 Sunni tribesmen were marched into the desert in northern Iraq, made to kneel near a ravine, and then were shot in the head. Their severed heads were then put on public display as a warning to others. In 2015, ISIS gunmen wearing police uniforms in disguise, along with three suicide bombers, attacked a police checkpoint and two restaurants in southern Iraq, killing at least 80 people and injuring hundreds more. In 2016, ISIS terrorists mangled 250 children by forcing them through an industrial dough kneader that was used for making bread. They also killed six young men by burning them alive in an industrial oven. And just last year, in 2017, reports emerged of dozens of women and children who were butchered and beheaded in village massacres across western Syria. Now, reading about and hearing about those horrific and senseless acts of violence is disturbing, to be sure. But that is precisely what many people in Judah and other countries of the Middle East had to live with back in the 7th and 8th centuries BC. For you see, the Assyrian Empire back then was, in many ways, the ISIS of its time. The Assyrians were absolutely brutal and completely merciless when it came to dealing with foreign countries. In Nahum chapter 3, verse 1, it described Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, as the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The Bible Knowledge Commentary summarizes it this way, and I quote, "Nineveh was the capital of one of the cruelest, vilest, most powerful, and most idolatrous empires in the world." And to back that up, listen to some of the boasting of some of the Assyrian leaders. We have historical documents, historical records of the Assyrian leaders saying these things, and I quote, "The heads of their warriors I cut off, and I formed them into a pillar over against their city. Their young men and their maidens I burned in the fire." Another Assyrian leader said, "I cut their throats like lambs. I cut off their precious lives as one cuts a string. Like the many waters of a storm, I made the contents of their gullets and entrails run down upon the wide earth. Their hands I cut off." And one other Assyrian leader boasted of mutilating the bodies of live captives and then stacking their corpses in piles. Is it any wonder that the judgment of God would fall upon such a cruel and heartless empire? Nahum chapter 2, verse 13 from the New King James Version, "Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall be heard no more." In Nahum chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, "Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles rest in the dust. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. Your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you, for upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? The NIV translates that last phrase, for who has not felt your endless cruelty? Now, let me give you what I think is an excellent summary of the message of the book of Nahum. And I found this summary simply by watching a 5-minute video clip from Right Now Media, a Christian video resource that we offer subscriptions to free of charge to everyone and anyone who is part of our church family. All you need to do is give us your email address on a clipboard on the welcome booth in the main entryway. Print your email address there, and we will sign you up free of charge this week. All I had to do was open my Right Now Media app and type in Nahum in the search box. And up popped this amazing summary of the book of Nahum. And I quote, "Nahum is a short, prophetic collection of poems." And that's important to understand. These are poems announcing the downfall of Assyria in the capital city of Nineveh. It invites readers to take refuge in God's justice, revealing God's response to violent oppression and suffering in every era of history. Nahum is portraying Nineveh's fall as an example of how God won't allow violent empires to endure. End of quote. My friends, as I have been reading and reading and rereading the book of Nahum several times, and as I have consulted several excellent commentaries on this book, I have come to the conclusion that this summary from Right Now Media is right on. It is very accurate. It nicely captures the essence of what Nahum was trying to communicate. Nahum is portraying Nineveh's fall as an example of how God will not allow violent empires to endure. That is good news. It was good news for those living in Nahum's day. It is good news for those of us living today. The Assyrians were no match for Almighty God. And today, ISIS, or ISIL, evil dictatorships, oppressive nations, no matter how strong, no matter how big, no matter how powerful, they are no match for Almighty God. Back to Nahum chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an utter end of its place, speaking of Nineveh, and darkness will pursue his enemies. So, with that very brief summary of the message of the book of Nahum, let me ask you this morning, is there someone or something or some situation that is threatening to overwhelm you and take you down? Think about that for a moment. It's an important question. Is there someone or something or some situation that is threatening to overwhelm you and take you down? If there is, be encouraged. Be encouraged, our God, the scriptures declare, is a good God.
Our God, the scriptures declare, is a stronghold, a refuge in times of trouble. Our God knows and cares for those who trust in him. And that includes dealing with all those who may be intent on hurting you or harming you in any way. Our God will bring the victory. That is the message of Nahum for us today. Our God will bring the victory. It may not happen the way we think it should happen. It may not happen when we think it should happen, but it will happen. God will bring deliverance. God will not allow evil to endure. He will not. And if you ever think that your problems are too big for God, think again. The Assyrian army in Nahum's day was considered to be invincible. I mean, King Sennacherib's armory, the place where they stored all of the chariots and armor and horses and weapons, the armory covered 46 acres of land and took 6 years to build. Their military was considered to be invincible. And the capital city, Nineveh, seemed to be indestructible. After all, it was protected by this massive 8-mile-long wall that circled the entire city. And this was no picket fence. This was a wall 100 feet high with 1,200 towers around it. And it was so wide that 3 chariots could race side by side by side. The army was considered to be invincible. The city was considered to be indestructible. But God wiped them off the face of the earth. In 612 BC, the Medes and the Babylonians blocked up the Kosher River that ran through the city of Nineveh. They blocked up the river, let the water build up, and then suddenly released it. And it destroyed part of this massive wall and several buildings inside the city. Some historians would actually say that the destruction of the city of Nineveh was possibly the greatest defeat of any city in the history of the world. God is able to give victory. No matter how big, no matter how formidable your enemy or your problem might be. Now, there's one thing we've not yet done this Sunday, and Don Parker was waving the offering basket to me at the back, thinking I had forgot, but I did not. On Communion Sundays, we usually take up a benevolent offering, and we're going to do that right now. So if the ushers could now get ready and give you a moment to prepare. Our benevolent offering is a completely voluntary offering that helps the practical financial needs of those in our congregation and in our community. And while we take up the benevolent offering, what we're going to do is watch the 5-minute video clip that I've alluded to from Right Now Media that summarizes brilliantly the book of Nahum. Do not worry if you cannot see all of the words that will be printed on the video screens. Just listen carefully, and you'll have a much better understanding of what this great little book is all about. So, ushers, would you come right now? Let's collect the benevolent offering, and we'll watch this video clip together.
The book of the prophet Nahum. This short prophetic book is a collection of poems announcing the downfall of one of Israel's worst oppressors, the ancient empire of Assyria, and its capital city, Nineveh. The Assyrians arose as one of the world's first great empires, and their expansion into Israel resulted in the total destruction and exile of the northern kingdom and its tribes. The Assyrian armies were violent and destructive on a scale that the world had never seen before, and so Israel and its neighbors were awaiting the downfall of Assyria, which eventually came in the year 612 BC. The Babylonians rose up and began a rebellion that overtook Nineveh and brought down the Assyrian Empire. And so chapter 2 depicts the fall of Nineveh in vivid poetry, and chapter 3 then explores the downfall of the empire as a whole. But this book isn't just an angry tirade against Israel's enemies. The introductory chapter shows us that there is way, way more going on here. The book opens with an incomplete alphabet poem that begins by describing a powerful appearance of God's glory. It's very similar to how the previous book, Micah, began, and how the next book, Habakkuk, is going to conclude. And it's God, the all-powerful creator, coming to confront the nations and bring his justice on their evil. And the poem opens by quoting from the famous line of God's self-description after the golden calf incident in the book of Exodus chapter 34. The Lord is slow to anger. He's great in power. He won't leave evil unpunished. And so the rest of the poem goes back and forth, contrasting the fate of the arrogant, violent nations with the fate of God's faithful remnant. When God brings down all the arrogant empires, he will provide refuge for those who humble themselves before him. Now, here's what's really interesting, is that you thought this book was only about Assyria, but Nahum actually nowhere mentions Nineveh or Assyria in chapter 1. And when he describes the downfall of the bad guys, he uses Isaiah's language about the fall of Babylon, which happened much later in history. And not only that, Nahum also describes the downfall of the bad guys as good news for the remnant of God's people. It's a direct allusion to Isaiah's good news about the downfall of Babylon. And so all these little details from chapter 1, they come together to make a key point. For Nahum, the fall of Nineveh is being presented as an example, as an image of how God is at work in history in every age, how he won't allow the arrogant or violent empires of our world to endure forever. And so the message of Nahum is actually very similar to that of Daniel. Assyria stands in a long line of violent empires throughout history, and Nineveh's fate is a memorial to God's commitment to bring down the violent and the arrogant in every age. With this perspective from the opening chapter, the book then returns to its focus on Assyria. And so chapter 2 describes the Battle of Nineveh and the overthrow of the city in progressive stages. So first we see the front line of Babylonian soldiers, and then we read about the charge of the chariots, and then the chaos on the city walls as the city is breached, then the slaughter of Nineveh's people, then the plundering of the city. Chapter 3 goes on to describe the results of the city's downfall for the empire as a whole. So Nahum begins by announcing a woe upon the city whose kings built it with the blood of the innocent. It's an image of how injustice was built into the very system that made Assyria so successful. But their violence has sown the seeds of their own destruction, and so Assyria will fall before Babylon. The book concludes with a taunt against the fallen king of Assyria. He's stricken with the fatal wound, and from among all the nations that he once oppressed, no one comes to help him. Rather, they sing and celebrate his destruction. And that's how the book ends. Now, this is a gloomy book, but it's important to see how Nahum's message addresses the tragic and perpetual cycles of human violence and oppression in every age. Human history is filled with tribes and nations elevating themselves and using violence to take what they want, resulting in the death of the innocent. And the book of Nahum uses Assyria and Babylon as examples to tell us that God is grieved and that he cares about the death of the innocent and that his goodness and his justice compel him to orchestrate the downfall of oppressive nations. And God's judgment on evil is good news, unless, of course, you happen to be Assyria. Which brings us all the way back to the conclusion of that opening poem in chapter 1, which tells us that the Lord is good and a refuge in the day of distress. He cares for those who take refuge in him. And so the little book of Nahum invites every reader to humble themselves before God's justice and to trust that in his time he will bring down the oppressors of every time and place. And that's what the book of Nahum is all about.
Wasn't that good? I found it so helpful. And like I said, if you want to start taking advantage of the thousands of excellent Christian videos through Right Now Media, it's available to you free of charge, clipboard, welcome booth, main entryway. There's also lots of great Christian videos for children on Right Now Media. You'll want to sign up today. Now, not only can you watch these outstanding videos and Bible studies through Right Now Media, sometimes you can print some of their resources. I was able to print the one-page summary that we just saw on the screen. And listen to the statements as they captured them in the top right-hand corner that were made at the end of the video. It goes like this. Nahum addresses the tragedy of violent oppression and human suffering in history. God is grieved by the death of the innocent. And God's goodness and justice compel him to orchestrate the downfall of oppressive nations. And so, my friend, I would say to you this morning that whatever you are facing, hang on to those truths. Hang on to those truths. One day, good will prevail. One day, evil will be vanquished. Nahum 1, verses 7 and 8, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. God promises an utter end of evil. God promises an utter end of the Assyrians and of the Ninevehs in your life and in mine.